Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Brave Boundaries, Strategies to Say No, Stand Strong, and Take Control of Your Time. The Key to Living Empowered by Sasha Shilkut, MD. Narrated by Sasha Shilkut, MD. To my fellow women physicians who, despite being underpaid, passed over for promotions, and excluded in places they belong, continue to show up day after day, saving lives and caring for the least of these. May this book be a reminder that our worth is not defined by the limits or the value society has placed on us. And may you find the courage to set brave boundaries to live empowered. Be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter, and those who matter don't mind. Bernard M. Baruch. Acknowledgements. This book wouldn't have been possible if I had not found myself in the pit of burnout at several times in my life when someone close to me said gently, "Sash, do you think you have taken on too much?" 99% of the time, that person has been Lance Shilkut, who graciously picks up the pieces as he watches me learn the same lesson over and over. Namely, that I must create and enforce boundaries for myself on a routine basis. The older I get, and the more success I find, the more I need radical, life-saving boundaries. Thank you to my best friend Lance, who's kind enough to love the boundaryless Sasha, which is not a small feat. You are the greatest gift of my life God has blessed me with. Thank you to my children, Sam, Asher, Sophia, and Levi, who have borne the brunt of me learning life's greatest lessons. My hope for you is that as you watch me set boundaries, you will be empowered to set your own. Thank you to my parents and my sisters who always encourage me to put out into the world what I believe I was made to share. Thank you to all my family members who put up with me getting up at 5 a.m., making coffee on vacation, and riding in between basketball games, on family vacations, and at dance practice. Thank you to my community, the women of the table. You have stood by me as I navigated the most challenging year of my career, picking me up when I was knocked down. You followed me into the unknown, supporting me as I drew difficult and yet necessary lines in the sand. Your love and support are beyond what I deserve. You were there with me in the dark places, and I'm forever grateful for each of you who remained. To my Brave Enough team, Chantel, Sarah, and Jade, thank you for all your incredible patience with me. I'm so blessed to have you in my life. Thank you for carrying the mission day to day and helping so many women thrive. To my circle, my sisters Leah, Michaela, Amy, Allie, Mina, Tara, Brittany, Steph, Jamie, Allie, Julie, Cy, Erica, AK, Amy, and Dusty, thank you for not judging me, but rather encouraging me to speak truth in the most unpopular areas. To Dr. Gail Walling-Yanny, thank you for believing in me and giving me your wisdom to navigate the waters I find myself in. To my amazing UNMC coworkers, truly, you are the best medicine has. Thank you for letting me be the weird one who challenges the status quo of academia. To my boss and mentor, Dr. Steve Lisko, thank you for sponsoring, paying, and promoting so many women to lead. Your equity will be your legacy. To the Old Widow Society and Rogue Enough, thank you for all the laughter, encouragement, and being secret holders. Save me a seat, I'm on my way. Thank you to my agent Jean for your confidence in me and encouragement to cross the finish line. To Christine, thank you for your excellent editorial guidance. Preface. In 2013, I decided to pivot. I didn't decide to wake up out of some deep enlightenment on a beach or after hearing some phenomenal TED talk. I decided, out of necessity, to radically change how I approached my everyday life. I sat on the floor of my closet, contemplating the reality that the life I was living was not the life I had envisioned for myself. I was burned out, emotionally depleted, physically exhausted, and empty. On paper, I was a successful, up-and-coming cardiac anesthesiologist with 4 children under the age of 7. I looked good. On the inside, I was struggling to prove myself in an academic, male-dominated world of medicine. crying myself to sleep each night when I would dare think of how bad I felt inside. I was failing. Over the course of a year, I made radical changes. I stepped into my power by owning the person God created me to be, by stepping out of everyone's expectations of me. I began by spending 30 minutes a day with myself. I started to prioritize my own well-being, my own wants and needs, saying no to things others asked of me. I started peeling back the expectations of others by being okay with being unliked. I accepted being uncomfortable as I moved from chronic people pleaser to living life on my own terms. I centered my well-being. I prioritized my family over work. I became comfortable with the backlash that came with disappointing others who were used to me saying yes to everything and accepting unpaid work because I was a woman who should feel grateful that I was even considered for the task. I set radical, life-saving boundaries. What came out of that year was more than me stepping into my power. I formed a sense of awareness about my own abilities and voice that I had never fully grasped prior. I felt courageous enough to start a community of women. What began with 30 women physicians grew to nearly 13,000 through my company, Brave Enough. Over the past 6 years, I have learned through coaching and leading a community of thousands of high-achieving, educated women that the single most powerful weapon we possess to fight against overwhelm, exhaustion, and burnout is not what you think. It is not holding a specific degree, achieving a high-paying promotion, or bringing home a massive paycheck. It is not found in marrying the perfect mate or fitting into your college jeans. The key to living an empowered life is the ability to create and enforce radical, life-saving boundaries, boundaries no one is teaching us as women to set. Until now. I have walked the typical, well-worn road professional women are told to run on the road to promotion. The way of people-pleasing, taking on extra and unpaid work, and doing the majority of domestic care and duties, all in the name of being a good mother, citizen, and team player. I have walked the path of career advancement that equates to operating at 150% capacity of your male peers while making less pay with promises to advance in due time. I have opened door after door required to make other people happy both at work and at home and live the common experience of being told to be grateful for every opportunity given, even if that means being paid less or promoted more slowly. I have grown wiser. And I am no longer on that path. I'm qualified to write Brave Boundaries because I have taught women at the highest level of leadership how to throw off the expectations of others and crush the patriarchal belief that we must be grateful for any crumb thrown our way for our talents and time. I wrote this book because I have coached hundreds of women on how to move from survival to thriving, all by embracing one key truth. Only you can set boundaries in your personal and professional life. No one is coming to clean up your life. No one is going to show up and suddenly remove tasks from your calendar and delete work you agreed to do for free from your to-do list. No one is going to give you permission to set boundaries. No one is coming. Here's the good news. You do not need someone else to rescue you. You do not need a fairy godmother. You just need the knowledge, a little chutzpah, and a community. You will find all of those things here in Brave Boundaries. Stop looking over your shoulder. Start looking forward. Let's get to work. Introduction. No matter how educated women are or how far they have climbed up the ladder, women are taught one thing over and over at every stage of their lives. When someone asks you for help, you say yes. Women are supposed to agree to take on whatever is asked of them, regardless of how busy they are or how much they have on their plate. No matter how much a woman deeply desires to say no, the societal expectation is that she will say yes, because women are helpers. We as women are taught to fix problems, always show up, and not let people down. We are instructed to never say no to tasks or duties asked of us, even when we are drowning in work and barely hanging on by a thread. When someone needs us, the expectation is that we will figure out how to make space for them. When we become radically brave enough to say no, or we are so completely overwhelmed we can't take on another thing, we face backlash. It is uncomfortable and shocking. We dislike it. So we often become avoiders. To avoid saying no, we hide. We conceal our talents or ideas because we are too afraid someone will take advantage of them. We don't position ourselves in place of leadership because we fear we will be taken advantage of and constantly be in service to others. When we do finally make it to a position of power and are in the spotlight, we find ourselves overperforming and overstretching ourselves to keep up the reputation of being a fiercely hardworking servant leader. Our inability to say no, our avoidance, and our hiding often leads us to feelings of immense failure, inauthenticity, and burnout. Instead of recognizing our own power and control over our choices, we start to blame and shame ourselves. What is wrong with me? Why do I not have the motivation to do more? Why do I not have the energy to take on more, to show up more? These are the questions we ask ourselves. We label ourselves as weak, saddle ourselves with guilt, and start the hopeless cycle of self-criticism. I am going to tell you something radical. Women do not need more motivation. We do not need fixing. We do not need more energy, a new and improved protein shake, or a new life coach. We do not need a special calendar app on our phone, a new nanny, or more Botox. We need boundaries. Radical, life-saving, abundantly clear boundaries. We need lines drawn around our priorities, fences that protect our physical health, our mental well-being, and provide opportunities for joy and growth. We need boundaries that say no to others and say yes to ourselves. We need to set boundaries not only with our family and work colleagues, but also with that one family member who calls and asks us for advice at the most inopportune times. Mostly, we need boundaries for ourselves. We need clear, beautiful barriers around our time, our accessibility, our gifts, and our talents. We need to be able to say, no, thank you, I won't do that for free. We need to stop lying and making excuses for why we can't show up for others and embrace the real truth and courageously share, no, I cannot do that because I am showing up for me. We need to reset societal expectations of what a kind woman does, what a hardworking woman will and will not do, and what everyone expects us to be. We need to take back the power of what we will do and where we will do it. We need to place ourselves in the driver's seat of our own time and be in control of our own work capacity. We are enough as we are. Radical, life-giving boundaries help us move from doormats and avoiders to empowered women. When we have strong boundaries, we make our own schedules, define our own salaries, and create space for our own creativity, passion, and health. As educated and empowered as we may be, society does not teach women to set boundaries. We may learn how to lead major companies, save lives, and teach armies of little people, but there's no class on how to become a boss lady who prioritizes her well-being by setting boundaries. I've taught thousands of women who own successful companies, lead academic departments, and have phenomenal skills in law, education, and technology, who find themselves completely empty, burned out, and miserable in their success. Over the last 6 years, I've coached everyone from Ivy League educated women to stay-at-home moms, and what I've learned is that unless you understand how to set and enforce your personal boundaries, you will not find personal happiness. Brave Boundaries is going to teach you how to identify breaches in your life boundaries and areas that need serious fences and take you through a personal boundary inventory. You'll learn how to change the way you approach your time management, get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and embrace saying no to others and yes to yourself. You'll know how to respond to boundary backlash, recognize gender bias, and find peace in knowing it's okay to choose the healthiest you. At the end of Brave Boundaries, you will be ready. Ready for critical conversations with those who matter most to you. You'll be ready to take on that long-desired dream you've put on the back burner for years, waiting until there was enough time, because you will finally have more time for yourself. You will walk through life with a different mindset, and instead of avoiding people or responsibilities because you are so tired, you will see invitations to participate in things as compliments, not death sentences. You will realize that you are in control of what and who you allow into your life. You will be able to clearly determine what you should say yes to and what you should say no to, and you will gain peace. I will show you how to set brave boundaries, as I have done for thousands of women in my coaching classes and conferences. You will learn that boundaries are kind, not restrictive, and that being a person with boundaries is the most empowering and peaceful way to live. Are you ready? Chapter 1. So very smart, yet so very tired. Why didn't I learn how to set boundaries? Every woman that finally figured out her worth has picked up her suitcases of pride and boarded a flight to freedom, which landed in the Valley of Change. Shannon Alder, author. Walking to my boss's office, I find myself on the phone speaking in hushed tones to my son. "Calm down," I say, in stern but barely audible tones. My phone vibrates. I pull it away from my ear and see my husband is calling on the other line. "I have to go," I tell my son. "Your father is trying to call me, and I have 3 minutes until I am due in my boss's office. I will discuss this with you when I am home." I click the line over to my husband. In 30 seconds, he tells me about my son's angst. My son wants to drop a class, and he needs a decision pronto as the deadline is approaching. My husband, Lance, is busy at work and wants me to make the call. I deep breathe as I see I'm approaching the door to my boss's office. "I cannot deal with this right now," I say in an exasperated voice. I hang up. I deep breathe. I steel my shoulders back and walk in. "How are you?" I ask with a smile. Game face is on. I am present. I am here. I am prepared. Or am I? As I sit down in my boss's office and begin to transition my thoughts to work, I am angry. I should not have answered the phone right before the meeting with my boss. Or maybe I should have? Perhaps I should have asked my boss to excuse me for 5 minutes and delayed the meeting. I could have called the school and taken care of my son's issue. Then I could have texted my son, texted his father, and closed the loop. Now I'm going to be thinking about this the entire time during the meeting. Either way, I am disappointing someone I care about, my son or my boss. Why does it feel like, no matter how hard I try, I am constantly disappointing people? Then another thought invades my brain space. Why does this problem fall on me right now? I understand why this is my problem, but why now? Why do I think I'm the only one who can fix it? Why do I think I should be able to be both super parent and department leader at the same time? Would I ever expect this of one of my male colleagues? Would I have expected this of my female colleagues? If so, why? Hide your cheating. The truth is this. We as women are expected to say yes. Yes, every day, to every ask, to every need, to every responsibility. We are expected to show up, game face on, with immense love and capacity to help fix, counsel, and please. It's like we are supposed to be part Marine, part Mary Poppins, and part Florence Nightingale. When someone needs us, day in or day out, we are to answer the call. We are to be there with a helping hand, a warm smile, and the knowledge of Yoda for whoever needs us, whether at work or home. And whatever we do, we are not to let one of our boyfriends know we are cheating on him. Everyone has to be made to feel special. Our family, aka Boyfriend One, otherwise known as Pete Personal, cannot possibly know that we are, in fact, seriously dating Boyfriend Two, aka William Work. And whatever you do, do not mention Pete Personal in front of William Work. This is a big no-no. I mean, even though everyone knows you are dating them both, you are pretty sure that if William Work acknowledged Pete Personal, there would be cause for a massive blow-up. So we learn to navigate the art of dating them separately, because as women, it's taboo to talk about one in the presence of the other without backlash. As women, we are constantly juggling both of our significant others. We are supposed to say yes to each of them whenever they call us or need us. Whether they are asking for a back rub or a spreadsheet does not matter. We are supposed to completely act as if we have it handled. We may find ourselves hanging out with Pete Personal when William Work calls, so we sneak out of the movie and answer the question. We may be in the middle of a major date night with William Work and suddenly Pete Personal is having a crisis and needs some advice. When we run to hidden hallways and sneak into bathrooms to take the call, then calmly return to William Work as if we were just powdering our noses. God help us, truly. And we wonder why we find ourselves stuck in our cars, in our garages, having to will ourselves to transition from home to work and work to home. Have you ever driven home and thought, how am I going to get out of the car? How am I going to go in there and help the people? Bless it, all the people. The expectation of yes. As professional women, we are trained that saying no is not an option, and when we are forced to say no, it's deeply uncomfortable. The backlash we know we will face for saying no leads us down a destructive path of overfunctioning, where our own energy and capacity to function falls by the wayside with every step. We go through life increasing our capacity to help others over and over, until like a balloon, we are so overstretched we explode. Our complete and utter exhaustion results in us being too tired to say no. It becomes easier to say yes, even when we know we don't have the energy to do one more thing, and thus begets the cycle of overcommitment and overwhelm. All kidding aside, the constant battle between the needs of those in our work life and those in our personal life leave us overworked and exhausted. Women find themselves empty and burned out, wondering why we are not more motivated, more energetic, or more capable of taking on more. It's like we are so used to just increasing our capacity to give, to do, to be more than we cannot accept the fact that there are limits to what we can do and that it is in our power to say no. We think there must be something wrong with us because why else would we be so tired all the time? Aren't women smarter than this? According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 29.5 million women in the U.S. workforce have at least a bachelor's degree, compared to 29.3 million men in 2019. Over the last three decades, women have made significant gains in education, entered the workforce in increasing numbers, and found themselves inching, albeit slowly, into top leadership positions. While equity in leadership still lags significantly and can be attributed to several different societal factors, an interesting conundrum exists. Never have women reported more burnout or work dissatisfaction. If education and experience were all that was needed to achieve gender equity in the workforce, why doesn't the data reflect this? Why doesn't the data show that knowledge and experience are all women need to move forward and achieve job satisfaction? In fact, the opposite has been found. Women report more burnout, more workplace unhappiness, and decreased work-life balance than ever before. After burning out in 2013, I wanted to hang up my stethoscope and quit medicine, a career of which I had worked ridiculously long and hard to attain. I dreamt of a job blindly folding yoga capris at Athleta. Sign me up. In my book, Between Grit and Grace, I share my story of overcoming burnout and rebuilding a life I did not want to escape from. It took me a good year to put myself back together, which started with making routine time for myself each day. But more than anything, the way I was able to maintain a busy career, motherhood, and start my own company brave enough without wanting to strangle every person I encountered was dependent on one important thing: my ability to set and protect radical, life-giving boundaries. Radical boundaries, my savior then and now. What saved me in the darkest point of my life and what has allowed me to thrive was learning how to identify massive holes in the fence around my well-being. I learned how to commit to a life of self-preservation and that the only way I was going to have longevity and peace in balancing everything was if I became fiercely protective of my time and mental energy by placing strict boundaries. When I overcame burnout, found my passion in medicine again, and started to embrace my full and authentic self, I realized this important truth. The one change I made was not a career change, a partner change, or some life gimmick. It was learning to see the cracks in the foundation of my well-being and seal them up with boundaries. Setting these boundaries was not easy. They didn't always go well. At the beginning, I was so horrible at saying no that people laughed when I said it. No one took me seriously, and I had to say it many times. Everyone in my professional and personal life was so used to me saying yes to every crazy thing that I practically had to scream no before people heard me. And when I did say no at the beginning of this journey to put my own sanity and health first, people used shame and blame to convince me to backtrack and regret saying it. Once I recognized I needed radical boundaries, I started gaining the confidence to say no to others' expectations. I started seeing more clearly how other women around me were in the same situation. In the workplace, I constantly witnessed women colleagues exhausted from doing unpaid work and extra tasks they were assigned that they felt they must agree to in order to be taken seriously. I observed countless friends with full-time jobs doing 90% of the domestic work at home to be a good mom at the expense of their own health and well-being. And I thought to myself, I have to change these inequities. I knew that for women to take back control of their time and energy, we needed one another, and we needed radical change. What came out of that dark period of my life was my company, Brave Enough, which I founded in 2017. What started as an online community in 2015 grew to an organization 2 years later when I saw the need for a company that supports the entire woman, both at home and at work. Brave Enough has become my life's mission, which is to teach women how to overcome burnout and set boundaries to take back control of their work and lives. In 2017, I organized my first conference called the Brave Enough Women's Conference, which sold out the first day registration opened and crashed the server. The need for women to come together out of the community I had built was so evident to me that I then began to form small group coaching sessions and classes. I started to reach women through a variety of ways. By starting my podcast, The Brave Enough Show, speaking around the country on work-life challenges women face, and publishing research on gender inequity in the workplace. This work led me to reach thousands of high-achieving women through my courses, community, and conferences. And surprisingly, I found it did not matter if a woman was the chief operating officer of a health system, a teacher, or a nutritionist. There was a common thread that was pervasive in women. Women were overfunctioning and undervalued. Despite being brilliant, educated, and extremely hardworking, they lacked the one key ingredient to protect them from immense personal exhaustion. They did not know how to identify much-needed personal boundaries. They lacked knowing how to say no, and they were not sure how to stand strong in the face of what I call boundary.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?